Good morning. The reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 56. And that can be found on page 1009. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up into heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up the 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida, where he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on the mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were coming completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and cried and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplace. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. And food has been a significant part of my church life. And growing up in Korea, the people devote themselves to fellowship around the table. Every Sunday after the service, there was always a home meal prepared by members, and including my mother. We didn't rush home. We stayed, ate, talked, loved, and shared the life. And food was an expression of love, fellowship, and care as God's family. And I learned something early on. Food reveals the heart of the one who provides it. And a shared meal is never just a filling stomachs. It communicates care, generosity, and presence. At the table, people are not treated as crowds, but as family. This insight helps us understand why the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is so central to the Christian faith. It is the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels. When God repeats himself four times, he wants us to pay attention. And this is a powerful demonstration of Jesus meeting a universal basic human need, need for nourishment. But it is much more than the catering service. It is a theological statement and demonstration. It reveals who Jesus is. This miracle shows that Jesus is the shepherd king, ruling with compassion. But as we dig deeper into the echoes of the Old Testament, we see something even more staggering. In the wilderness of Galilee, Jesus repeats what God did for Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. He reveals himself as the great I am, the very God of Israel, who provides manna for the hungry and walks upon the waves of the sea. In the context of the Mark chapter 6, we see sharp contrast between two kings, the King Herod and King Jesus. King Herod hosts a feast in a palace marked by luxury, lust, and a brutal execution of John the Baptist. He rules by taking life. Jesus hosts a feast in the wilderness marked by compassion, teaching, and satisfaction. He rules by giving his life as a ransom for many. Today, we will see three great truths about Jesus. First, Jesus is the shepherd king who gives us rest. And second, Jesus, the shepherd king who provides the new manna, the bread of life himself. Three, Jesus is the I am. The first, Jesus, shepherd king who gives rest. Look at verse 30. It begins with the apostles returning to Jesus after being sent out on their first mission. They come back with reports of what God has done through them. They report to Jesus, ministry produces stories, joyful stories of teaching people, healing, and difficult stories of rejection, persecution, and exhausting stories of travel. And this is a beautiful picture of a Christian life. We are called to participate in God's mission as ambassadors of Christ, as we have seen, serving at the pleasure of Christ. Every Christian is a sent one with a message of reconciliation. You may not preach from a pulpit like me, but you are a witness in your office, in your school, in your home. You can be exhausted like the apostles. They are so busy, they have no time even to eat in verse 31. Have you ever felt that level of depletion? Where the demands of life, work, kids, church, chores, are so high that you forget to nourish yourself. I've seen so many devoted Christians exhausted as they navigate family, work, and church ministry tirelessly. If you are one of them, listen to Jesus' response with a deep pastoral care in verse 31. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Notice that Jesus does not treat his followers like machines. He's not a taskmaster like a Pharaoh. He is a shepherd. He says, come with me. The Greek word for quiet place means wilderness. It is the first clue Mark gives us. In the Old Testament, the wilderness was where God met his people. It was where the noise of Egypt was silenced so the voice of God could be heard. Jesus says, come with me to a quiet place. The true rest is not simply the absence of work. It is the presence of Christ. You can go on a holiday to the most beautiful beach in the world and return with a restless soul if you didn't go there with Jesus. The true rest is found in the quiet waters of Psalm 23, where only Jesus can lead. Jesus is a shepherd king who restores our souls. That is why the Lord's Day is so vital. Sunday is not a burden. It is a gift of the shepherd through his death and resurrection. The shepherd king is a servant king who came not to be served, but to serve and gave his life as a ransom for many. So Sunday is the resurrection day when we can find eternal rest in Jesus. It is an invitation to step out of the busyness of the world and into the rest with Jesus. And Jesus looks at his disciples. They are faithful, obedient, hardworking. He sees their weariness, and he does not say, try harder. He does not say, just push through. He says, come with me. Some of you are tired, not because you are faithless, because you are faithful. You've been giving, serving, carrying burdens, loving people, and showing up. Jesus does not rebuke you for that. He invites you to himself. If your soul is restless today, for whatever reason, hear this clearly. Jesus is not asking you to find rest on your own. He is offering to lead you into rest. The same shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep now says, come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest. So if you are weary, don't run away from Jesus. Run to him. Because the real rest is not found in stopping life, but in walking with the shepherd who restores our souls. Second, the shepherd king provides the new manna, the bread of life. Disciples get into a boat to find the rest, but the crowd is desperate. They run along the shore and arrive at the destination before the boat does. When Jesus steps off the boat, his holiday is interrupted by 5,000 men. Just imagine. And most of us would be frustrated. But look at verse 34. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And this is a direct quote from the Old Testament. In Numbers chapter 27, Moses asked God to appoint a leader so that the people of Israel would not be a sheep that have no shepherd. When Jesus looks at the crowd, he sees the failure of the leaderships of his day. The herald is a fox, sorry to say that, not a shepherd. The Pharisees are legalists and hypocrites, not shepherds. The people are spiritually starving. As the sun begins to set, disciples are at the seed of the problem. They are in the wilderness. There is no food. They tell Jesus, send them away. But Jesus gives a shocking command in verse 37. You give them something to eat. Disciples do the math. They calculate it would take 8 months wages to give everyone even a bite. They're looking at their wallet, and Jesus is looking at his father. He asks, how many loaves do you have? They said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Very famous story. Jesus tells the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. This is a deliberate note to Psalm 23. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Then Jesus performs a miracle that mirrors the Exodus in the wilderness when Israel was hungry and complained. God rained down manna from heaven. By multiplying the bread, Jesus is claiming to be the God of the manna. He is the prophet like Moses promised in Deuteronomy chapter 18. While Mark gives us the action of the miracle, the Gospel of John gives us the interpretation. In John chapter 6, the very next day after the multiplying the bread, the crowds find Jesus again. They want more bread. They want to make Jesus a king who can provide them with free 3 meals a day every day. That's what they want. They said to him, "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." They are challenging Jesus. "Moses gave us bread for 40 years. You gave us 1 meal yesterday. Can you do that as Moses did? Then we will believe you." But Jesus corrects their theology. He tells them in John chapter 6, verse 32 and 35, "It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you," present tense, "who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven, gives life to the world." "So," they said, "always give us this bread every day, 3 meals a day." And then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." I love this so much. Wonderful truth. This is the heart of this miracle. The physical bread is a parallel in motion. Jesus meets their physical needs to prove he could meet their spiritual ones. The physical food is temporary. You eat and get hungry again. People try to satisfy themselves with many things: alcohol, drugs, sex, games, gambling, and many others. But they will never satisfy you. Rather, they will destroy you. But Jesus offers himself as the bread of life. The crowd is looking for a bread king who would fill their stomachs, and Jesus is offering himself as the Savior, servant king who would satisfy their souls. Augustine said in his famous book, Confession, "Our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." We could say, our souls are hungry until we find our bread in you. Jesus is the only one who can truly satisfy you because he addressed the root of our hunger, our separation from God. Jesus is the shepherd king who invites us to find rest with him. Jesus is the shepherd king who gives himself as the bread of life to our souls. This is what Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 47 to 51. "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Isn't that wonderful? Jesus is the bread of life. And thirdly, Jesus is the I Am. Immediately after the meal, Jesus sends the disciples ahead in the boat while he goes up to the mountain to pray. And this is another deliberate Moses parallel. Moses often ascended the mountain alone to meet with God. And Jesus does the same, but with a crucial difference. Moses went up to speak to God. Jesus goes up as the Son who communes with the Father. As night falls, the disciples are caught in a storm. Mark tells us they are straining at the oars, fighting against the wind. They are exhausted, terrified, and helpless. But in verse 48, we are told something extraordinary. From the mountain, Jesus saw them struggling, even in the darkness. Even from a distance, the shepherd's eye is fixed on his sheep. Just before dawn, Jesus comes to them, walking on the sea, walking on the water. This is not merely a dramatic miracle. It is a divine claim. In the Old Testament, who alone walks on the waters? And Job chapter 9, verse 8 says of God, "He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea." When Jesus walks on the water, he is doing what only Yahweh does. Then Mark adds a strange but crucial detail at the end of verse 48. He passed by. He meant to pass by them. The passing by is a technical Old Testament language for a theophany, which means God's visible self-revelation. When Moses asked to see God's glory at Mount Sinai, God said, "I will pass by you." Now in the storm, Jesus passed by his disciples. The Creator is revealing his glory to his people. The disciples cried out in terror and thinking he's a ghost. Then Jesus speaks in verse 50, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." In Greek, it is I, ego eimi, which means I am. This is not casual speech. I am is the divine name, Yahweh, revealed to Moses at the burning bush at the Mount Sinai. It is the name Israel refused to pronounce, substituting Lord out of reverent fear. When Jesus says, "I am," he's not simply identifying himself, he is revealing himself. Jesus is declaring the God who spoke from the fire, the God who passed by Moses, the God who spilled the Red Sea, the God who rescued the Israelites from the slavery of Egypt, the God who fed Israel with manna, the God who bound himself to his people by the covenant that he would save his people from their sin. I am here. He has kept his promise now. I am is among them to give his life as a ransom for many. We saw a glimpse of this earlier in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Do you remember when Jesus rebuked the wind and the sea? The disciples had asked each other, "Who then is this? Then even the wind and the sea obey him." Now on the water, Jesus gives them the answer to that question. I am. Jesus is not merely a helper in the storm. He's the Lord of the universe. He's the Lord of the storm. He's the one who laid the foundation of the earth and who set the boundaries of the sea. And throughout his ministry, Jesus unfolds what this I am means. He does not leave the divine name abstract. He fills with grace. He says, "I am the good shepherd, the shepherd who sees his sheep struggling in the dark and comes to them even through the storm to lay down his life for them." He says, "I am the living water, the one who satisfies not just physical thirst, but the deepest thirst of a human soul. He says, I am the bread of life, just we heard, greater than the manna in the wilderness, the true bread from heaven who gives life to the world. He says, I am the light of the world, the one who shines into darkness, into fear, into storms, into sin, and brings us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He says, I am the door of the sheep, the only safe entrance into salvation, the one who protects his flock from destruction. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a guide pointing the way, but the way itself. Not a teacher of truth, but the truth itself. Not a giver of life, but life incarnate. He says, I am the resurrection, the one who does not merely raise the dead, but who is the resurrection life itself. And after his death and resurrection, he declares, I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever. And finally, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lord of history and eternity. So when Jesus says on the water, I am, do not be afraid. He is saying, the shepherd is here. The living bread is here. The light is here. The door is here. The life is here. The living God is in the boat with you. The great I am has become Emmanuel, God with us. The storm does not cease because Jesus performs a trick. It ceases because the presence of the living God, the creator of heavens and the earth, enters the boat. Sometimes Jesus sends his people into the storm, not to abandon them, but to reveal himself more fully. On the shore, you may know him as a provider. In the storm, you come to know him as the great I am. So when the shepherd says, do not be afraid, the sheep are finally safe. The shepherd king, who is the great I am, is moving through the land in the rest of the passage today, healing the broken and the feeding the hungry. Why does he do all this? Is it just fix their physical problems for a few years? No. Every miracle Jesus performs is a signpost pointing to a greater reality. He gave bread to point to the fact that he is the bread of life who satisfies the souls eternally. He gave rest to point to the eternal rest found only in his finished work on the cross. He revealed himself as the I am to show that he is the eternal God who has come to bring us home. This revelation challenges us today. If Jesus is the great I am, then he is not just a figure of history. He is the Lord of your life and death. Disciples struggled because their hearts were hardened, says verse 52. They had seen the bread multiplied, but they hadn't yet connected the dots to Jesus' identity, the great I am. They saw the provision, but they missed the provider. I know that for some of you, there are real obstacles to make it hard to see Jesus clearly as he truly is, the great I am, the Lord, just as it was for the disciples, the Pharisees, Herod, and many religious leaders in his own days. Do not let your heart be hardened today. If you are wandering like a sheep without a shepherd, come to him. He will not treat you with the cruelty of King Herod. He will treat you with the compassion of the Savior. If you're hungry for something this world cannot provide, if you have tried the feast of this world and found them empty. Come to the bread of life that came down from heaven. If you are in the middle of a storm and you feel the waves are about to overwhelm you, or you have already been overwhelmed, listen to him over the wind. Take heart, I am. Don't be afraid. If you repent and believe, I am is with you now, always, and forever. I am is your shepherd. You shall not want. He will never forget you. He will never abandon you. He will never stop loving you. I am is the living bread that satisfies your deepest need. He is enough for today. He is enough for eternity. Repent and believe in him. You will be saved, you and your household. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful truth. And Jesus is our Shepherd King who gives us rest and gives us a new manna, the bread of life himself, as a ransom for many, for our soul, to satisfy our souls. Please, Lord, help us open our ears to hear that the great I am saying, he is the bread of life to give us eternal life. Please help us to repent and believe in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.